The Pacific Ocean has not been kind to pinnipeds over the last year, and we're talking seals and sea lions. They've been showing up on the shore in great numbers, looking sickly and underfed. And so places that nurse unhealthy marine mammals back to health have experienced an upswing in business, a really sharp upswing in business. At the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito in the Bay Area, the term sea lion tsunami has been used to describe the wave of sickly marine mammals. Dr. Sean Johnson is the Director of Veterinary Science at the Marine Mammal Center and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on the show.
So give us an idea of how long you've worked with marine mammals and if you've ever seen a year like this past one.
Well, I've been working with marine mammals for a long time since I graduated vet school in 1996 and went right into marine mammal medicine after that. And I've been working here at the Marine Mammal Center for the last 3 years as the director of the veterinary science department. And in 2015 is a year, it was an epic year. It was something that we've never seen here in California with the huge amounts of animals that we had to care for.
Given the increased volatility of ocean conditions, were you more or less bracing for something like what you saw?
Well, we, The ocean conditions started changing in 2013, and we started seeing elevated numbers of strandings in 13 and a little bit more in 14, and we weren't quite prepared for what happened in 15. I don't think you can compare for hundreds of sea lions washing up on your beaches every single month for 5 months in a row, and we ended up rescuing over 1,000 little sea lions just here in Central California. So we thought we were prepared, but you can't be prepared for an outbreak like this.
So you started seeing more and more strandings. And what's going on then? What in a stranding you see seal pups and sea lion pups on the beach?
Yeah. So the Marine Mammal Center is a rehabilitation and rescue center for marine mammals, and we're situated here in Central California. Our rescue range is 800 miles of the coastline, and any marine mammal that needs our help that washes up on the beach, we'll send out volunteers and staff and rescue the animal and bring it here to Sausalito. So we were finding, starting as early as January 2015, these little emaciated sea lions just scattering the beaches of all of California. They should have all been out on the Channel Islands with their mothers. They spend up to 10 months with their mothers learning how to be sea lions, drinking milk from them. And at the time, we weren't really sure why, but they just started leaving their beaches and washing up ashore. They were basically just bags of bones. They were in stage 3 starvation and really in really poor condition.
I saw some of the pictures, and they really did look like a sea lion wearing the wrong outfit, because it was just their skin and fur were just hanging. The fur seals were just hanging on them. Are some so malnourished that you can't help them?
Yes, I mean, many of them were dying within the first 24 to 48 hours of rescue. I mean, coming ashore is really their last desperate feat before a lot of them unfortunately pass away, because any of these animals don't want to be on beaches where they don't normally habitate. And we would bring them in and give them full veterinary exam and start providing them with the treatments and the nutrition they needed. But it is really difficult to bring back an animal that is in such severe starvation.
So what's causing the starvation part of things? What's the issue with the food supply?
Yes. So at first we weren't exactly sure. It took some investigating. We were looking for potential causes of disease or toxin or looking for some reason why the mothers were not transferring energy to their pups through their milk. And we went out with NOAA fisheries biologist, and we helped them tag some of the adult females out on the islands last year. And we satellite tagged them and tracked what their behavior was. And basically what we found was that the mothers were having to go on extremely long foraging trips to find food for themselves before they would come back and nurse their pups. So their normal cycle is they'd spend 2 to 5 days out fishing, come back, spend 1 to 2 days nursing their pup. And they do that continuous cycle for 10 to 11 months. Well, the females last year were spending 5, 7, 10 days out at sea before they would come back and find their pup on the islands. And they would only spend maybe 1 day, sometimes even a half day. So they, the mothers were trying extremely hard to find enough food for themselves, and they just couldn't provide for their pup. And this was a direct consequence of the warm ocean waters that have been off the Pacific coast here for the last couple of years and causing the fish populations to move away or to decline.
So normally you get an upwelling of cold water or something that would create or at least provide nutrients to the fish that would be around there?
Yes, I mean, here in California, it's an extremely productive ecosystem because of the upwelling. And these winds blow in the summertime and cause cold water to come up and just creates a very productive environment for all marine life off the California coast. And we're not really exactly sure. They haven't decided what happened. But for some reason, those winds haven't been blowing for the last couple of years to create the upwelling. And the ocean temperatures just started to climb. And this warm water spread all the way from Alaska all the way down to Mexico, and it was termed the blob. The oceanographers had never seen this anomalous warm water before. And basically, this warm water surrounded the whole area where the sea lions are usually foraging for their fish. And the anchovies and the sardines and all the normal fish, they moved to deeper waters, they moved farther north, they moved out to sea to stay in their cooler temperature zone, and that just left no food for the sea lion mothers to find and to go back and nurse their pups. And so the pups basically became emaciated, and they were desperate, and a lot of them were leaving the rookeries to try to make it on their own, even when they were 5 months old. And they just were just barely strong enough to make it to the beaches on the mainland for us to find them, but not nearly mature enough to make it on their own. And even then, there was no fish this last year out in Southern California, none of the kind of fish that they need.
Dr. Sean Johnson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Director of Veterinary Science at the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito. We're talking about the sea lion tsunami reported there last year. More than 1,000 seals and sea lions taken in for a variety of illnesses, largely malnutrition from just not they're not food in the ocean. Join us on the Exchange with questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So which are the species that are showing up the most?
Well, the species that were most affected by this warm water were the sea lion pups earlier in 2015. As you said, we had over 1,000 of them just in our rescue range and over 4,000 in the whole state of California. But then, surprisingly, later in the year, the same lack of food was affecting other populations, most notably the Guadalupe fur seals. And this is a fur seal that breeds and lives down in Mexico on Guadalupe Island. And they migrate north after they're weaned up off of California here to spend the summer, and they the newly weaned animals from Mexico were unable to find any fish up here in their normal foraging grounds, and they started stranding themselves. And this is a threatened species. There's probably only 10,000 of them left, and we rescued 35 live Guadalupe fur seals, and many more were found dead on our beaches. And so this was a real significant impact on their population. And we were able to rescue and nurse quite a few of them back to health and release them. This species is so rare that not much is known about them, so we ended up attaching satellite tags to them when we released a handful of them so we could better understand where they were going and trying to find food for themselves.
I understand the Guadalupe fur seals are a little feistier than the California sea lions, too.
Yeah, so the fur seals, the Guadalupes and the northern fur seals that we saw later in the year, they are a little, even when they're starving and really ill, they are very feisty and will want to take your finger off if you get it too close to them. So they were a more of a challenge for our staff and volunteers to care for, that's for sure.
So what is the situation for room at the center and staffing for that matter as well?
Well, we're the largest marine mammal center in the world. And as far as the number of animals we care for, we have over 1,000 volunteers that come in and help care for the animals and a pretty significant veterinary staff here. But you're never prepared for the kind of influx of animals that we had in 15. But we're prepping ourselves for 16 right now. And we had last April we had 291 animals on site. That was the most we had in one single day. But animals were coming in, 10 to 20 new animals every single day. And we basically maxed out our capacity, and we're in the process of building some new pens right now and hopefully expanding our capacity and being prepared for future influxes of animals like this. But you can't you can't ever truly be prepared for an emergency like this, but we're working towards that. Our staff and volunteers are on edge right now, ready to help again if we need to.
Do you think similar conditions are going to occur again this year?
Well, we know right now that there are similar conditions in the environment. The warm water off the coast here is still present. And with this El Nino that's coming up into our area this winter, that's bringing, you know, this weather pattern and changes is only going to acerbate and extend the amount of time that we have warm water here. All the warm water from the Pacific will come up into California and merge with the blob and create basically similar kind of conditions that we've had over the last 3 years. Down on the Channel Islands, I was down there in October with the NORI NOAA biologist, and we were counting pups and weighing sea lion pups that were, 5 months old. And incredibly, the pups are in really horrible condition. They're the lowest weight for that time of year that has ever been recorded in 40 years. So we know that the pups that are currently on the islands are having a difficult time surviving, and their mothers are having still a hard time finding food.
Well, and it's not just the food supply. I understand the toxic algae bloom that occurred off the West Coast this year also had an effect on seals and sea lions.
Yeah, it was a double whammy for all the animals out in the ocean. You know, with the warm waters and the lack of food was mostly affecting the pups. But then this harmful algal bloom, this marine algae called Pseudoniche, they really liked the warm water and the nutrients. And there was this huge toxic bloom that extended all up and down the West Coast. And basically, these are microscopic algae that are forged on by fish, and then the sea lions eat the fish and get a large dose of this toxin. And so we were seeing, and this toxin then goes to the brain and causes brain damage and seizures. And so besides the pups, we were seeing a lot of adult sea lions that were being exposed to this toxin washing up on our beaches and having seizures on the beaches. So we were having to rescue them and treat them for the seizure activity. And, you know, the domoic acid is increasing in frequency along with the elevations in water temperatures and changes that are happening in the environment. And it's become a real concern for us because how it's having a negative impact on all the marine mammals and everything that feed on, you know, the food chain like that. But this looks like this could be becoming a public health concern too, as you know, a lot of the fisheries were being shut down this year, the Dungeness crab fishery off the coast here, because this toxin can affect humans in the same way that it affects people.
Can the effects be reversed in treatment, though?
No, there's not an antidote or a treatment per se. By the time the toxin is causing damage to the brain, all we can do is suppress seizures with anti-seizure medication and give supportive care, and hopefully, allow the body to clear the toxin out of their system and prevent, you know, too much severe brain damage with supportive care. But unfortunately, there is no antidote. And when the animals recover from their initial seizure activity, then we do evaluations and neuro exams and determine if they can be released back out in the environment. One of the main problems is domoic acid causes memory loss. And if you recover from exposure, you may not be able to remember how to go to forage, where the fish should go. You can't adapt to changes in your environment. So it's important to us that we don't release animals back out in the wild that would not be able to survive on their own.
Dr. Johnson, a couple of questions about, again, trying to deal with this crush of business in a sense. First of all, do you have to segregate the separate species? And second of all, how do you feed them all?
That's a great question. We have about 24 different pools and pens here. So we try to distribute the species as well as we can. You know, when we have the sea lions here and the elfin seals, and then in the spring we have the harbor seals, and when depending on how they are when they come in, and what condition they are, they might just eat some fish. We have frozen herring that we thaw out, and we just toss some fish. And if they're, depending on how they feel, they might just start eating that. But these little pups that are coming in, they're so emaciated and so weak that we have to grind up the fish, and we make a fish milkshake, a slurry for them. And then our volunteers have to tube feed them, pass a tube into their stomach and let the food go right down in their stomach to give them the nourishment they need. And we can also add medications and other supportive treatments into that food slurry. So that's what we do, and they might get that 3 to 4 times a day until they develop enough energy to be able to start eating whole fish on their own. So it's quite a lot of activity going on here when we have a full house.
For the animals that leave there healthy but have had to be fed in, you know, essentially in this facility by you and your people, what are the prospects for them being able to hunt well on their own once they're out there?
Well, our ultimate goal here at the Marine Mammal Center is to rehabilitate and release healthy animals back out into the ecosystem so they can become part of the normal life cycle. And so we take very, very much care not to prevent interaction with humans, and so they don't become habituated to people, and that they try to maintain their wildness. And these animals are instinctive. They know what to do when we release them. And we place satellite tags on some of the important species, like I talked about, the Guadalupe fur seals. And then all the animals get flipper tags so that if they do restrand or they get resighted, we know that we've done a successful job of reintegrating them into the wild. So we get very few restrands of animals that wash back up on the beach because they still couldn't figure out how to take care of themselves or couldn't find the food they needed. So overall, we're pretty happy and confident that we're doing something good for all these animals that come here.
But certainly bracing for another busy year, it sounds like, at the Marine Mammal Center. Dr. Sean Johnson's the director of veterinary science there. They've been dealing with a sea lion tsunami, as you heard, at one point 291 in one day, but another busy year potentially coming. Dr. Johnson, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right. Thank you for your interest in our mammal center.
Sure, and best of luck.